Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Pimelo Mutine. Thank you so much for being with us. Coming up on the show, we'll be crossing to the Premier of Gauteng as he gives his State of the Province address. I think that's very important, especially because we were there last year, if you remember, and we'll be able to, you know, check those notes. You know, how much of what he promised last year was he able to deliver this year, and what's new? Actually, I really, really would love to hear from you when we do take that moment to listen to him. And let's just, you know, hold him accountable a little bit. Let's see where you feel, you know, he's not living up to the expectations. I'd love to hear from you. 086-000-00959. I'll take those calls, and I'll very happily take the voice notes as well on WhatsApp on 063-688-0959. Now, earlier on, I had a conversation with Eskom. Hands up, those of you who are frustrated because of the load shedding. Yeah, it was quite something. It started off as the stage three sometime on Saturday, and then very quickly moved over to stage six overnight in the middle of the night on Sunday. And I think many of us, you know, as much as we are understanding, I think the country is frustrated, and I think many of us didn't anticipate that we'd be back here. I must say that it was commendable that the minister quickly held a briefing on Sunday to try and explain what had happened. I don't know if that comforts you, because you can see the frustration. Traffic lights not working, and I think a lot of people just feeling like this is not a good start to the week. But let me give you an opportunity to make up your own mind and hear for yourself from the spokesperson of Eskom.
Point of View.
Discussing the world around you.
On the street.
On the air.
And at kaya959.co.za.
Eskom spokesperson Daphne Mukwena is on the line with us. A very good evening, and thank you so much for making time for us this evening.
Good evening, and good evening to your listeners, and thanks for having me.
I can't imagine. It must have been a very long day and a long weekend for many of us. Mm-hmm. South Africans are very frustrated, and we just wanted to give you an opportunity, especially for those who are not able to hear from the Minister of Energy, Electricity and Energy over the weekend, just what actually mm-hmm. happened and how we find ourselves here. Please take us mm-hmm. through, you know, how we find ourselves to stage six as we speak right now.
Yes, let me start by apologizing to, you know, the broader South Africans of what had happened over, you know, it started at 5:30 in the evening on Saturday when we took Africans to stage three load shedding. Mm. And that is obviously after over 10 months of no load shedding, except on the 31st when we had that 37 hours of load shedding. Mm. But if you look at, you know, where we're coming from and where we are currently, there's quite a lot of improvement in terms of our, you know, the stability of our system. If I just compare, you know, last year or the previous financial year where we had only 32 days of no load shedding days compared to about 324 days, you know, currently that we are, you know, we are experienced or we have of no load shedding days. I think that's quite an improvement, and that maybe before we get into the nitty-gritties of what had happened, maybe just to explain that, you know, the reason why we are where we are in terms of this improvement is because of the, you know, the operational recovery or generation operational recovery plan that we've been talking about all along. To say we came with a plan or established a plan in 2023. We started March, we started implementing this plan. This is a stress-tested plan that actually we wanted to, you know, improve our energy availability factor. And what we have seen, indeed, we have improved our energy availability factor by about 7% or just under 7%. So that has, you know, obviously meant that we could keep load shedding because of our system had improved, meaning that our system or generation fleet had less, you know, tripped less It was more reliable, or it's still more reliable compared to last year, but there's still more work to do. And I think in August, on the 26th of August last year, Lerato, we did mention that, you know, in as much as we are celebrating that we have made, you know, or come this far in terms of not implementing load shedding, however, we are not yet out of the woods yet, as we are still executing this particular plan of ours. And once we are out of the woods and we are comfortable, we can then say to the South Africans, and I think our GCE or CEO, Mr. Dan Marukani, and our chairman have always, and the minister have always said that, well, then, you know, call a press conference and we'll inform South Africans that load shedding is now over, but currently it's not over up until we get certain things right. But if you look at where we're coming from, we have really, you know, come a long way and improved the, you know, the reliability of our generation. Mm. So what happened then on Friday, I mean, on Saturday? So maybe let me start taking you back to the 15th of February, which was a Saturday. Yeah. Yes, yes. So the 15th, we took out a unit at Kusile, Unit 2, which, remember, we inform South Africans through our power alert that we took out Kusile Unit 3. Remember those three units that were out because of the flue gas desulfurization system, you know, the system that collapsed. Yeah. Yeah. So remember, we were given a up until 31st of March that temporary authorization to actually run with those temporary stacks. And obviously that meant that environmentally we are not compliant, especially in terms of sulfur dioxide. So so we started with Kusile 3. It's now back on the permanent stack and on the repaired FGD. Now it was, so 15th we took out Kusile Unit 2. Okay. So it is also off for now to relink it to the permanent stack and the repaired FGD. Mm-hmm. But after that, that was on Saturday, and that is a plan because we can't, you know, or compromise, you know, having to obviously comply with environmental conditions. Mm-hmm. Then on Monday, the 17th, we then took out Kusile Unit 1. So it was also planned to be taken off and the grid for refueling and also to also do some maintenance so that we can comply with our license conditions of the long-term operation. Remember, it is also, we received that long-term operation a license to run it over the next 20 years. Mm. So given the two, because if you look at Quebec, it's a very reliable station. We're talking about 930 megawatts that run reliably. We're talking about Kusile, a very reliable also a power station. We're now taking about 800 megawatts. So we already have about 1,700 megawatts off the grid, but obviously to ensure that we comply with the necessary statutory, you know, authorization. Now, having that as well, remember, we are also preparing for the winter month or season. And normally our summer, we normally take a couple of units out, but not obviously recklessly so, but it's a plan, and we look at how the system would look and, you know, whether it will be sufficient for us in terms of electricity demand to take off or to do whatever planned maintenance that needed to do. So everything looked fine, although we're a little bit constrained. Why? Because we're a little bit controlled. We could actually, the system could allow one or two units, you know, tripping, which is the norm. You know, you always have a system, I mean, a unit there tripping, and then we repair whatever that needs to be repaired. And obviously, combined with this maintenance, we didn't have enough room for any, you know, major trip. Major trip, I'm referring to a number now, or a multiple trip, as we call it. of units at this multiple trip at the same time. And this is what had happened then at about 5 o'clock on Saturday. We had Majuba. We lost about 5 units almost at the same time on Saturday. Now at around 5 o'clock, between in like a period of about less than 30 minutes. And then while we were still, so obviously we called for stage three, because losing 5 units at the same time meant that, you know, we couldn't, the system couldn't absorb or you know, that number. I mean, we at that particular time, what I forgot also to mention is that we also lost Midupi, and Midupi is also one of our flagship stations, which meant that another 800 megawatts was lost. So we, in a space of like just less than 30 minutes, we had lost about 3,800 megawatts. So 4,000 megawatts just off like that, off the grid. And unfortunately, as I said, that we didn't have that headroom to absorb that, loss of multiple units. So we had to go to stage three. And around just towards, you know, midnight, we then, you know, it was like, you know, everything was just against us on that day for some reason. We then, unrelated costs as well, we then at Camden lost about 4 units almost at the same time as well. And obviously that meant that, remember when we lost, when we started with taking out Kusile and Kubek, we were also running a little bit of our emergency reserves, to especially during peak, also to just cover for whatever, you know, a demand that would have spiked.
Yeah.
But then after when we went to stage three, then it became a little bit also constrained. We used a little bit more as well. And then when Camden, then also, you know, those 4 units gave in, we also had, now we didn't have any choice but to protect the grid, because that is a responsible thing for our system operator to do, to actually prevent it from collapsing. So he had to call for stage 6. Mm-hmm. And that's what really happened. Yeah.
You obviously mentioned the fact that the plan that was announced in 2023 had been stress tested, and when you explain, you know, what had happened here, all the things that were necessary, you know, environmental compliance issues, and all of those things, Kuba, Kusile, very, very reliable, as you say, but there are things that needed to happen so that we can comply with all the regulatory requirements. At this very time when this was happening, do you think Eskom, we were perhaps maybe too aggressive in also continuing with other maintenance plans, in as much as, yes, it's ideal, but looking at the fact that you had these other, I mean, you already had lost 1,700 megawatts off the grid at the time. Is that something that you think you should have reviewed and revisited and maybe reconsidered?
Look, no, because as I said that, our teams normally would meet, you know, on a daily basis and look at these plans and what is it that, you know, and they will always make room for whatever failures, but obviously not at that extent. You know, our plans always have that room for 1 or 2 units failing. So, or 3 units at the most failing, but obviously not at this extent, because this is very abnormal that you lose about 10 units at the same time. Very, very abnormal. It's not something that you would, you know, experience on daily basis, or even, you know, as I said, that very, very abnormal, and having even 2 stations at the same day. I mean, that was really very, very unusual, but it happened. And, you know, with our preliminary investigations, what is also, to answer your question, is we were not aggressive. I think our plan, you know, we were, as I said, that we had also room for failures, if they okay, but obviously not to this extent.
So,
but also, coming to now when we, okay.
Go ahead. No, I'm saying go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Now, coming to look at what had happened, you know, at Bolt Station, you know, looking at Majuba, that, you know, our primary plant, you know, the things that on our plan were the things that worried, or obviously that we were not worried, but also had to plan for to fix. Those things were still intact. Our primary plant was, I mean, there was nothing wrong with our primary plant. You look at Camden issue as well, nothing wrong with the primary plant. What we picked up on both plants is that we had issues with our auxiliary plant, which is something now, you know, in terms of lessons learned from this, is that obviously now we need to focus more on our auxiliary plant, because, you know, most of the issues that we had that had caused load shedding in the past were mostly on our primary plant, you know, being your boilers, being your whatever, that our mills in particular had a lot of issues. But because now we have dealt with most of these issues, we are now seeing, you know, that our auxiliary plant need a little bit of, you know, care as well. And if you look at the two stations, Lerato, I mean, they are our flagship stations as well. You know, it's not like those stations that one would say they are tripping every day. It's stations which they are EAF. It's quite impressive. Both of them are operating at beyond 60%. Majuba is operating as an EAF of 68.6% year to date. And, Camden is sitting at about 61.1%. So these are stations that are our flagship stations that we are reliant on in terms of keeping the lights on. But yeah, whatever that had happened this previous Saturday happened. And the good thing is that, you know, our teams from Saturday works throughout the night, all of us, you know, as a team, we supported. But our teams as well, you know, they had, they worked throughout the night to make sure that the five that we lost at Majuba is back on. But the only problem now, or it's not a problem, but it's part of the process, that you need to ramp it up. Remember, when you put it on sync, you don't put it, it's not, it doesn't come at full capacity at the same time.
Yeah.
And at Camden, we also have recovered three units. We are left with one unit.
Oh.
But as I said, that the process of ramping them up is underway. And we also, obviously, with all now our emergency reserves, because we needed to also to, you know, cater for the demand now that we couldn't cater for with our generation fleet, we also had to use a little bit of our pump storages, you know, our diesel. But now, you know, we are recovering well. And hopefully this evening we will be having a meeting and we will then decide on or just on and reassess where we are. And we will then be able to see if we are, you know, at the right space of, you know, either reducing again or leaving it still for just another day or two. But we're looking into, you know, before the end of this week, looking at our progress, that we will have recovered fully and stopped load shedding.
You know, the minister
stopped,
made the point.
Suspended it.
Sure.
Yeah.
The minister made the point that, look, when you have a look at where you are now to where you were last year, you're almost at 99% electricity availability.
Yes.
But that he wants to categorically rule out the fact that this may be sabotage. You are saying yourself that it is abnormal. You're saying there are preliminary investigations underway. It is concerning, though, that things happen. It was like a calamity all at the same time, so close to one another. Is there anything else, you know, that is suspected of having happened since you want us to rule out the fact that it was not sabotage?
Yeah, look, we looked at, I think our investigation at this point in time do not point to that. In Majuba, it was an electrical fault because there was this unit transformer that overloaded. It's a normal, and the transformer remember, it will trip correctly, tripped correctly, because obviously these infrastructure would have protection, which, I mean, good thing is that it didn't explode, because if it exploded, then one would then be worried that the protection didn't operate correctly. So the protection operated correctly, tripped. Unfortunately, when it trips, then it caused those units tripping as well. At Camden as well, it is also a control issue, and as well, it's something that it can be explained. It has nothing at this point that points out to sabotage.
Do you want to respond?
Just, maybe yeah. If you want yes. to call it bad luck. I mean, like if you know your house, you've got your geyser bursting and something else, your fridge also giving in at the same time. It becomes something that is very abnormal. But you have to deal with it and move on.
And you're saying that perhaps by the end of the week, we should be seeing some sort of stability and everybody sort of getting back to what should be our normal, way of doing
yes.
things.
Yes, yes, yes. That should be that is the plan. As I said, that the five units are back in to the grid, and the three units we're just waiting for the last one, which we anticipate that it will be back tomorrow. So once that is done, and even our emergency reserves, they are recovering very nicely. So we would there would have no reason for us to continue with load shedding by end of this week.
All right. So holding thumbs there. Really appreciate you talking to us. Thank you very much, Eskom spokesperson Daphne Mukwena. They're just giving us an update on what happened over the weekend and reassuring everybody that by the end of the week, we should sort of get back to normal. If not, we will come back to you, Daphne, and give an update on what is happening. But I appreciate your time this evening. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Eskom spokesperson Daphne Mukwena.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.